Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you chose to join us. I want to talk about healthy masculine and healthy feminine for a moment. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone the notion of the rebirth, if you will, of the feminine, the healing of the feminine, the return of the feminine, as being a modality that's going to bring us back into balance. We've certainly had a masculine past, a masculine paradigm as the prominent, dominant part of our human story. And I just want to touch on the notion of healthy masculine and healthy feminine. And when we talk about these two attributes, we can certainly talk about it in the collective, and we can also talk about it in the individual. Whether you're a man or a woman, it's incidental, really, because we all have masculine and feminine aspects to ourselves. So when we talk about the return of the feminine, the reawakening of the feminine, and how our culture is going to change when that happens, I think it's a very, very powerful topic to talk about. I mean, just take a minute and think about this notion. Here we are today now, and all of the religions have saviors, have saints, have mystics, have shamans. All of the religions of all over the earth have had their saviors come and go. The paradigm, the mythology, the story, if you will, of our human history does not have us succeeding in bringing heaven to earth, to bringing the end of suffering. In other words, here we are today now, and we haven't made it. In a large sense, we're nowhere near making it. What I'm getting at, so if you think about like a hero movie, the first 20 minutes, first half hour of a hero movie is the portrayal of a villain, the portrayal of a circumstance that is beyond the common man or woman. The paradigm, the conundrum, the trouble, if you will, that the villain is casting upon the culture, the society, the tribe, is beyond any of the people's ability to see a solution to. Because the whole notion of a hero is exceptional. Exceptional courage, exceptional bravery. They transcend the normal human persona. And the reason I bring this up is, if we look at the heroes of our past, if we look at the archetypes of the warrior, the archetype of the savior, the archetype of the pick one, any or all of the archetypes, that we haven't fixed it. We haven't fixed humanity. I don't need to tell you how many, many, many ways humanity is suffering at the hand of another human being. And so our past doesn't have the answers portrayed in any clear and vibrant way. There's not this clean-cut storyline in the past that talks about the redemption or salvation of humanity, if you will. And I think there's a time where we need to, like, blow the whistle and wake up to take a step back and say, wait a minute, nothing about what we've been doing has been working. Certainly there's healing modalities that are happening, and there's, I mean, we've had so many women on the show that promote the healing of the woman archetype. So I'm not saying that good doesn't exist on the planet. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, based on our history up to this moment, there's no clean-cut path to humanity ending war, humanity ending slavery or torture or human trafficking, or pick one. I mean, the atrocities that have happened on this planet are thick. it's a pretty karmically laden classroom for old souls to incarnate into. So when we talk about healthy masculine and healthy feminine, I don't think we can use the old archetypes. I don't think we can keep this, our same eyes. I mean, to see things in the same way. I think we need to transcend how we see the masculine and the feminine. And I'm very, very encouraged about our human story. I'm very encouraged about our human paradigm. As old souls, we chose to come into this very, very challenging environment. We chose to incarnate into this very challenging environment and solve the problem and turn the paradigm around and invent the new mythology. I think there was a time on this planet when there was healthy masculine, and there's a time on this planet when there was healthy feminine, and probably a time when they were both balanced and whole. But in our traditional mythologies, these aren't touched. So it's going to be the rogue soul. It's going to be the rogue mystic. We're not going to hear the answer from the normal channels, the normal streams of teachings, if you will. Normal, by its very nature, means more of the same. It's going to be abnormal. It's going to be the abnormal inspiration. It's going to be the abnormal personification, the abnormal embodiment, if you will, that's going to be what actually turns around our human situation. And I think we're certainly poised for this to happen. And I want to validate that. I want to quantify that statement to say that I think we're very much poised for humanity to heal itself. I think we're very much poised to have heaven return to earth. But wait a minute, didn't I just spend a bunch of time talking about it, how it doesn't exist in our history, in our short-term history, last 5,000 years, whatever? Well, yeah, I did say that. But look at the dynamic of what our humanity is living in. We have this thing called the internet, and you can tweet a tweet and the entire world can get it. You can have a radio show on the internet and you can talk into a microphone like this one right here, and anybody on the planet can listen to it. You can have thousands and millions of people online to watch a single event. So what I like about, what gives me extreme confidence about our human condition is, as you know, there's many people that are bringing in new teachings, new paradigms, and we've had a lot of them on the show here, where we as souls, you and I, the human beings on this planet, we as souls chose to stack the deck in our favor. We chose to set ourselves up with support. We decided that, okay, if we're going to incarnate into this karmic tsunami, that perhaps we're living in one of the most advanced classrooms to learn about karma on the planet, perhaps actually in the galaxy. We set ourselves up that we would have help, that we would have support, that we would connect ourselves with information. And now through the medium, the many mediums that are available, like this one here, me talking to you, and you're either listening to this live or you're listening to this in the future. Well, wait a minute. Here's the future. No, wait. Here's the future. Wait a minute. Never mind. We can convey esoteric knowledge that to the rank and file, to the everyday man and woman. We can talk about things that were incomprehensible in historic times, things like the quantum field, the plasticity of our brains, how we can reprogram ourselves, the energy behind emotions, the patterning, the habitual patterning tendencies that karma creates in a human persona. That's a big one right there. We could do a whole radio show right there on that. And people could become more pliable and thus more able to break out of the norm, to break out of the norm of the past, to create a new paradigm. It's the human being that's going to change. So what I'm talking about is humanity's getting downloaded all this information, all this ancient sacred wisdom about the mechanics of creation, the mechanics of karma, the mechanics of consciousness, the mechanics of the quantum field, the mechanics of the physics of life. So all this information is coming online, and many, many people are hungry for it. I love how popular this show is, how many thousands of listens we have. People are hungry for this information. And so this paradigm didn't exist. This kind of communication didn't exist. Certainly there's a bunch of BS floating around, but that's just part of living. We have to hone our BS detectors, but there's really high caliber information that's easily available to people who are seeking it. They're looking for it. You're listening to the show because at some level you perceive a value to it. So this chapter, this time, this moment of our human story, I suggest is one of the most powerful decades, eras of transformation of our collective story in perhaps the history of the planet. If it's not the top one, it's in the top five or the top three. So what are we talking about? The masculine and the feminine, and what are the nuggets that are perhaps hidden in our masculine and our feminine archetypes? When we think about the masculine and the feminine, we know what messed up masculine looks like. We've been living it. control, competitive, domination, way out of balance. The feminine has been trivialized and, if not scorned and perhaps cursed in the past. So when we talk about healthy masculine and healthy feminine, what is it within our collective and what is it within ourselves that the masculine and the feminine are going to do to change our human paradigm? That's a good question. Well, let's get to it. I suggest to you that when we talk about the power of the human persona, it's not like we load up attributes to define power. And what I mean by that is there's the spiritual warrior archetype and the noble spiritual warrior. And these are fine. I'm not discounting them at all. But what I'm getting at when I talk about the lack of attributes is love, and specifically unconditional love. Love without condition, without condition, without attributes. Raw, unadulterated love. So we're gonna get to that love, but let's talk about the details of our masculine and feminine personas. So when we look at the human persona, here you are on a planet, and you have to be on the planet, you have to be incarnate on the planet to have influence. Billions of prayers have been said for God to come down here and clean up this mess, and God does not come down. The archangels have been prayed to 100 billion times, and they don't come down. The big, powerful, kick-ass deities, the glowing orbs in the sky, the big guns, if you will, are hands off. It's quite clear they're not going to come. So when I talk about this human persona, that'd be you, that'd be me. When I talk about a human persona, I suggest the human persona is the most powerful substance on the planet, because flesh and bones is required to have influence in our human story. Our free will is fierce. We have so much free will, we can build out a nuclear arsenal and fry the planet. We have so much free will, we can host wars for thousands of years and kill millions and billions of people. And the gods didn't stop any of it. So do you think the gods are going to reach over the shoulder and grab the steering wheel and force humanity into heaven? No. Peace by its very nature won't force itself. Peace by its very nature has to be chosen. Love is the very same way. Unconditional love says, well, if you want to do that, go ahead. So it's the human being, it's you and me, that changes our perspective, that changes our beliefs, that chooses a new paradigm, that breaks out of the normal of the past. So let's look at masculine for a minute, and then we'll look at the feminine, and then we'll look at the masculine and the feminine in the act of creation. And then we can wrap it up with the masculine and feminine living in, embodying unconditional love, and how that is a place of immense power. So the masculine, let's get to it. All right, I grew up in the United States, small town in Utah. I was raised male on the planet. How many ways have we had our the masculine archetype just butchered in our culture? Well, I don't. There's so much I could talk about right here, but let's look at some of the key factors. I think a lot of the stigma behind the male archetype on this planet is feelings, or rather, the lack of feelings. You know, my dad was a World War II vet. He fought in World War II in the Pacific Campaign. And this all happened before I was born. And I would look at pictures that he has of his childhood, and I see this really happy kid that lived on a farm. Big smiles, you know, a spring in his step. You could tell he had stuff going on. And then he went off to war. And then all the pictures of him after he went off to war, there was a real somber, a real kind of undercurrent of heartache in the pictures. And then I'm the last of seven kids. So years and years, decades later, I come along. And my dad had a very, very heavy heart. He had an immense amount of anger in his persona. And there's several war movies out that portray a moment when a naive kid in the field of battle, the naive, innocent boy from a small town, has to learn how to kill without hesitation, to learn how to kill another human being. And I can just imagine, I can just see my father as a young kid who doesn't want to hurt anybody, and he's gone through boot camp, and now he's out in the actual campaign, and there's a moment when they expect you to pull the trigger or they're going to court-martial you and send you to the brig. And the pain it must have felt like, and this is, again, this has been portrayed in movies. He had to push something about his psyche way down inside of him. He had to take the compassion he had for humanity and push it down so far he couldn't feel it. The male persona on this planet is extremely scarred when it comes to emotions. And we've talked about a very powerful modality, a way of how millions of males on this planet have been very deeply scarred through the battle of war. And war has been going on for thousands of years. So men pretty much have been taught, don't feel. You can't have compassion for a man and still shoot him. Don't feel. Shut down your feelings. Even when you're growing up, if you fall off your bike and rip a big chunk of skin off your knee and get up and start bawling, what are you told to do? Suck it up. Push those feelings down. Don't show that you're vulnerable. And fast forward into our modern culture, and sure, we're living in a modern society, and you have a good job, and you live in a nice home, and you take nice vacations. But if you didn't ever get around to feeling, and I tell you, our culture is not going to be the one to show you how to do that as far as the rank and file academic arena or perhaps the religious arenas. To be able to feel, it takes some courage. When you push down so much pain in your psyche, a lot of times men avoid approaching their emotions. They avoid becoming vulnerable so they can feel what they've pushed down in their psyche. In fact, men can feel scared and actually petrified of actually feeling their emotions. If you think of some of the environments, and we've talked about some here, the brutal environments when these feelings come up, and then they, quote, successfully, unquote, pushed them down in their subconscious, well, you're not going to get back to whole until you go back in there and clean that stuff out. I mean, PTSD is a classic example of loading your psyche up with so much pain and anguish that it overwhelms you. But what if you only had enough pain and anguish that it made you numb and it wasn't quite as overwhelming to get the title of PTSD? And I know certainly women can have the issue of not wanting to feel, to be afraid of their feelings. So one of the very powerful modalities to work with this is intimacy. I think a lot of times the relationships we see in our culture, the men and the women all get together, and at about 3 to 5 years into it, they'll either decide to not make any waves or they'll break up. In general, there's no paradigm that works for everyone, but there's not a lot of people that go looking for ways to uproot their emotions. They don't see it as a priority. In fact, they're kind of glad that their emotions don't get stirred up. But I tell you what, if you want to go bump up against your subconscious, you could enroll in something very powerful. A very common one that comes to mind is Tantra. Tantra is a practice of working with your own persona, becoming more aware of your own persona to be able to feel how you feel in the moment. And the powerful thing about Tantra is that it uses sexuality as one of the modalities to delve into your psyche to find the places that you've been scarred. And I tell you what, sexuality as a modality for healing is very, very powerful. Sexuality, like Tantra and other modalities, will push you so far into your psyche that you will bump up against some of the shadow of your subconscious. And oftentimes when people bump up against the shadow in their subconscious, they want to turn tail and run. But I tell you what, when you bump up against the scarring, the psychic scarring, the karmic scarring in your subconscious, you're standing at a treasure chest. When you feel the pain of the past starting to come back up to the surface, that's a golden moment. That's a precious moment. That's a sacred moment. And you're literally standing at the gold, the pay dirt, of transforming yourself. But unless and until you understand the mechanics of that, it's very common for people to get nervous and back out and just don't do it. or they have a subconscious knowingness that it can be a little bit frightening, and so they don't even sign up for it. They don't even think about it. They'd rather do the social scene and do more of the same, do what has been normal in the past. So in the masculine archetype, being able to feel your feelings, being able to let go enough, to surrender enough, that the what you push down in your psyche can come up. And when it first comes up, your ego can be really scared and afraid and remember the environment that made the ego want it to push it down in the first place. But in a healthy, safe environment, you can connect with that and let it unravel and capitulate out of you through your persona. You can give yourself permission to feel that pain, and you can unravel a whole bunch of that emotional issues in your subconscious that you haven't resolved. And what the really powerful thing, check this out, think about this. The first time you do it, it's kind of scary. It might be real scary. But if you have courage enough and you go back and you do it again, and here it comes again, but this time you felt it before, so you have an idea of what you're going to, you kind of have an expectation of what it's going to be like. And then the next time you go in, you do it again. This means repetitive practices to actually go looking for unresolved emotions in your psyche. After four or five or six times, a really powerful thing happens that would have never happened before if you didn't enter the practice of going and looking for it. You become intuitive. You can't become intuitive if you don't have the experience. You can't become intuitive about your emotions unless you actually give yourself permission to feel them. You can't become intuitive about interpreting the emotions you're feeling in the moment and making choices in the moment and literally changing the direction of your life in the moment because you've become intuitive about your emotions. That right there, becoming intuitive about your emotions, is a key attribute to the healthy masculine, the healthy feminine. If you're suppressing your emotions, you can't be a powerful masculine or feminine persona. You can't do it. Your emotions are your real-time feedback. Your emotions are the messengers that are relevant to the moment that you feel them. When you give yourself permission to let go of the control and allow yourself to be immersed in emotion, the emotion can convey to you everything you need to know in the moment and be free and release, and you don't accumulate emotions by feeling them. You don't accumulate karma related to emotions if you actually feel your emotions. So for the masculine, allowing themselves to feel vulnerable, to have feelings come up and not know what the answer is, not know what the message is, to feel clumsy and disoriented with it, and for the feminine to create a space and know enough to not try to run the railroad verbally, telling them what to do or what not to do, or asking them how he feels 100,000 times. Let him have the space to figure it out for himself, because it's an inside job. You can't tell him more information about his emotions than his emotions can tell him directly. Stay out of it. So the feminine, so we've talked about the masculine. Emotions are a very powerful way for you to become intuitive in the moment and know what to do in the moment. It's a wisdom that transcends your ego. It's a wisdom that transcends everything you know about the past. It's a wisdom that allows you to break out of the normal, the quote, normal expected behavior of the tribe that has kept us stuck for generation after generation. It's the intuition and the emotion of the moment that becomes a roadmap for you to transform your own persona so you can show up as a healthy divine personification of the masculine and the feminine. Now we're talking about real power. We're talking about breaking the old paradigm of the past. We're talking about allowing the divine wisdom that's inside of us to guide us, the wisdom inside of us to guide us, and not our egos. So let's talk about the feminine before we run out of time. I don't purport to have infinite knowledge about what it's like being raised a woman on this planet. I don't pretend to have the same insights as a woman who's actually lived out that persona. But you know what? I've married a woman and I've raised a daughter, and I've watched the mechanics of the feminine archetype on this planet. And boy, howdy, there's some hardcore emotional gymnastics, should I say, that is associated with the feminine side. Now, to be fair, the dominant masculine environment has downplayed the importance of the feminine in the past, that the environment for the feminine to raise a healthy personification of the feminine archetype is very unlikely as well in our culture. Just as we send our men off to war, our culture is very derogatory and demeaning towards the feminine persona. When the woman feels her emotions, a very common masculine response is, well, she can't be trusted. Look at her emotions running through her like a electric current. And the culture has really downplayed the role of the feminine. But the feminine, the reawakening of the feminine, is to break out of the structure of the past. So even though I'm going to talk about masculine traits, I'm talking about the feminine because we're going to talk about the opposite of the past. So the opposite of what? Let's talk about that, and then we're going to flip it over. So masculine overdose has control a very dominant aspect of our culture. Institutions, religions, the patriarchal personification of God, order, predictability, logic. These are masculine attributes. These are the attributes that are reinforced by our society. Order, structure, knowledge, predictability, repeatability. These are the framework to what we valued in the past. So let's look at the feminine. Let's take the feminine and turn the masculine on its head. Where there was knowledge, there is unknowingness. The masculine knew how to do things, how to build a house, land a man on the moon. The feminine is unknowing, illogical, irrational. And just to say those words, they fall empty as far as our culture is supporting them. Irrational, illogical, unpredictable. Well, there's power in that. There's an immense amount of power in that. if all we know is predictable and normal, we'll never, ever, ever break out of the paradigm. It's the unpredictable. It's the spontaneous. It's the feminine going into the unknown, going into the abyss, going into the uncharted of the unknown, and bringing back an image, a vision of the future. And that's the oracle archetype, the psychic archetype, where the feminine can go into the field of the unknown and pluck a new paradigm that doesn't make any sense to the masculine culture. Now, the powerful woman doesn't have to have it validated by the existing tribe. The powerful woman understands that the existing tribe couldn't even recognize what's really going to save us, what's the new vision, the new idea of humanity's future. The authority, the institutionalized opinions are not going to embrace, they're not going to acknowledge, they're not going to approve what the feminine's going to bring about. So the powerful feminine is a woman who is connected with her feelings, connected with her heart, who has a love and a compassion for humanity. And then in the feminine archetype, can go into the abyss, can go into the wilderness, go into the irrational, go into the unknown, and capture a vision, a path for humanity, and bring it back and not let go of it, and not give a rat's ass what anybody in the normal culture cares about it. If you can't bring it back undiluted, then you can't be as powerful as your potential. A powerful woman is going to recognize the truth in a way, in a fashion that has not been recognized by our culture, perhaps in our recorded history. And she's going to know in her heart that it's much more congruent and authentic to the truth than anything our past has shown us. Powerful feminine doesn't need approval from the masculine. The masculine quantifies. The masculine quantifies based on what is, which means the past. Our past sucks. We don't need to prove, we don't need to quantify anything with our past. I think hopefully I've made it kind of clear that our past has not got us out of the quagmire. It's the new stuff that's going to do it. And it's going to be the woman that brings the new paradigm, the new vision in the physical form. The feminine is about community and connectivity. The feminine has a nurture element to it. When we talk about, well, with the time left, let's look at the balance between the masculine and the feminine, both in the individual and collectively. We don't have that much time left. So what's the masculine's job? To take an idea and bring it into form. An idea is an intangible substance. So you have an idea to build a building, and the masculine lays out a blueprint, pours concrete, puts up boards, does the physical, rational, logical thinking and acting, and creates form from the inspiration of the intangible. The masculine stays grounded. The masculine stays connected to their body. Their masculine knows how to return to ground if they go through emotional upheaval. So in a relationship, whether it be within a single persona, the relationship of your masculine and your feminine, or the relationship of a couple, doesn't matter what polarity their bodies are, if a man and a woman or the masculine and the feminine are together in a relationship, the masculine role is to stay grounded so the feminine can go off into the abyss. The man holds the space. The man doesn't have to know why, doesn't have to know what the information's about, doesn't have to be able to explain anything. The masculine just holds the space and lets the feminine go into non-grounded, etherical, infinite potentiality and fetch the answer to the prayer, fetch the inspiration of the new paradigm. And when the feminine brings it back, that's the idea that the feminine hands off to the masculine to bring it into form. I like the idea of Divine Mother and Divine Father sitting in bed having a smoke after the best whoopee they've ever had. Here's God and Goddess laying in bed before creation. This is before the Big Bang. And they're like, damn, that was good. And the feminine, the masculine, they're sitting there and they say, well, what else is possible? And that's the prayer. What else is possible? And the Divine Mother conjures up a vision of the entire galaxy and all of its potential. She dreams up what we now experience as reality and hands it over to the Divine Father, and the Divine Father creates the heaven and the earth, creates time and space, creates chocolate ice cream, creates the experience of being human. So when we look at, in a general sense, what's the powerful attributes behind the masculine and the feminine? What's the act of creation? It's the act of creation. So our cultures, our schools, our religions, they're really inundated with a lot of incongruent ideas, beliefs, policies. I mean, we have oceans and oceans of graduates. We have oceans and oceans of people that have attended religion religiously, pardon the pun, for decades. And we have gotten nowhere near salvation with this process. So how do we fix it? We create heaven on earth. We create the new paradigm. How do we do that? Well, we pray, what the hell does heaven look like? Pardon, I guess that's a pun. What the hell does heaven look like? Divine Mother, show me a vision of the idea of heaven on earth. When we pray, we get the answer as an energetic snapshot, like a vision. We get this energetic answer to our prayer. Divine Mother, Divine Father doesn't reach over our shoulder and rearrange all the atoms to create, quote, heaven on earth. Heaven on earth is an inside job today. Heaven and hell exist today on this planet. Can you experience heaven on earth today? Damn right you can. How do you do that? To embody unconditional love. Unconditional love for all that is as it is. When you love all of humanity, and did I mention how much of humanity? All of it. The shadow, the darkness, the scoundrels, the rat bastards. To love. Your relationship with God is your relationship with humanity. Your relationship with creation is your relationship with all that has been created. Your relationship with your power is your relationship with your experience of quote reality. If you want to be powerful, heal your relationship with reality. Heal your relationship with divinity. I think I just wrote a book about that one. Heal your relationship with your own power. I wrote a book about that one too. And embody in your persona the divine idea of what it means to be a human being living in unconditional love on a planet, and in this case, this planet. Learn how to love all that is as it is, to pray for a vision of what heaven on earth would look like, and when the vision shows up, when the answer of the prayer shows up, that's the feminine. When you pray, it's pretty much the goddess, the feminine god, the goddess. When you pray, the goddess goes into the abyss of all that is. It goes into the infinite field of potentiality. The goddess goes in and fetches an idea, a vision, a dream of what is possible for humanity, and the goddess brings it back, the feminine brings it back, and hands it over to the masculine, and the masculine is all about form. The masculine is about taking the intangible and making it tangible. So what would heaven look like for you? Well, I promise you money won't decide everything. I promise you competition as a survival tactic will not be there. I promise you war machines and the exploitation of humanity won't be there. In order for you to be able to embody unconditional love, and just a little side note, if we fast forward however amount of time it will take to have heaven on earth, what will be the difference between today and then? Well, then, when we have accomplished it, there'll be a whole lot of human beings living in unconditional love on planet Earth. There'll be a whole lot of human beings who can embody unconditional love on planet Earth. So let's back up to the here and now. What can I do as a human being to help move humanity towards bringing heaven back to earth? Well, I could be a human being that learns how to love, learns how to embody unconditional love on planet earth. We have to choose it as human beings. Our free will is so fierce, we won't have heaven on earth until we choose heaven on earth. We won't have the salvation of humanity until humanity chooses to have the salvation of humanity. It's quite clear Goddess is not going to reach over our shoulder and force us to do it. It's by our own choice, by our own will. Our free will trumps what God and Goddess, quote, wants for us, unquote. It's quite clear God and Goddess has defaulted what they want to what we want. That's why we have free will. If what God and Goddess wanted had more sway than what we wanted, we wouldn't be in the predicament we're in. But our free will is so fierce that it's done unto us as we believe, no matter what, period, end of story. It's done unto us as we believe. So heaven on earth is achievable. Heaven on earth is, I think, inevitable. We've had so many guests on the show that have talked about the power of love, that have talked about the vision, the idea of humanity raising its consciousness out of 3D struggle into a 4D, 5D consciousness, which leaves behind the pain and the suffering. These are very powerful times in our human story. This is a very powerful time for you to be alive. This is a very I would say this is probably the most advanced classroom for a soul to incarnate into, to learn how to embody unconditional love within the karmic tsunami on this planet at this time. So that perhaps this is the most advanced class you can take in karma anywhere in the galaxy. This is beyond PhD. This is beyond Nobel Prize. This is the place you come to master the art of finding love in the darkness of the storm. Hey, you know what? Thanks for showing up for yourself. I created New Human Living. I want to help you find the divinity within you. I don't want to tell you what to think. I don't want to tell you what to believe. Then you wouldn't be authentic. But I'm here to help people understand the karma of their subconscious. I'm here to help people understand the mechanics of the of mental stigmas, mental patterning, and how it collapses your fields of possibilities. I'm here to talk about how the energy in your subconscious influences the quantum field moment to moment, and that if you have a karmic propensity in your subconscious, the quantum field is not going to loosen up your wand, if you will, because the energy that you're showing the quantum mirror, if you will, is much more subconscious energy than it is conscious energy. Your wand's not going to work. I'm here to teach you the mechanics of karma. I'm here to teach you how to embody unconditional love. I'm here in service to humanity for them to discover heaven on earth from within their own being. I don't have a template of heaven for you. Nobody on the planet has a template of heaven for you. Heaven comes from within you. When you learn to love yourself without condition, when you learn to truly love yourself, the vision your soul will be showing you will be heaven on earth. I wrote Citizen King, The New Age of Power, to teach you about the sovereignty of your soul and the dominion that is your birthright. I wrote Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior, to heal your relationship with God. If you can't heal your relationship with God, you can't heal your relationship with power. In that book, I talk about purity and authenticity. Purity is critical when you talk about interacting with the quantum mirror, because if you're not pure, you're already diluted, and so your consequences, the results are already diluted. Purity is power. Authenticity is durability or sustainability. If you're not authentic, you can't sustain yourself. Hey, you know, thank you for showing up for yourself tonight. It's my pleasure bringing you these shows. New Human Living's coming up on 10 years old. We've had just so many guests on this show. We're probably going to expand this platform in the future. And grow out the shows that we do and the platform that New Human Living is, to help humanity discover the truth of themselves. And I appreciate you showing up. I love spending this kind of time with you. Don't be afraid of anything. I think we're going to see legions of sages and mystics and alchemists and saviors coming out of the everyday human being. It's my pleasure. I'm so glad you chose to join us. Until next time, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Les Jensen.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.